WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. We all get stressed or anxious from time to time. It's a part of being human. But for many, the feeling of anxiety can be constant. When someone always feels worried, restless, fearful, or dread, it's possible they could be suffering from an anxiety disorder. Now, anxiety disorders exist on a spectrum and look different for everyone. And whether you're diagnosed with a disorder or not, learning ways to manage and cope with it can be life-changing. So I spoke with Gina Fedock, an associate professor at UChicago's Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice. I started off by asking her the difference between the feeling of anxiety and anxiety disorder. Here's Gina.
To get started, whenever we talk about feeling anxious, we can think about this in terms of how we are emotionally feeling and then also how we're physically feeling. And again, when we're talking about just feeling anxious, as you mentioned, you know, we're going to start talking about that in terms of our general experiences before we get into anxiety disorders. So when we're feeling anxious, it can be helpful sometimes to identify what exact feelings are we having. Are we feeling nervous? Are we feeling fear or afraid? Are we feeling powerless? Are we feeling excited? Are you feeling uncertain or worried or irritated or on edge? And to get really specific about what is that combination of feelings that we're having. And for some people, it's also really helpful to think about the intensity of those feelings. So on a level of 1 to 10, where am I with this feeling? Mm-hmm. And then when we're also feeling anxious, we can sometimes realize we're feeling anxious because we're having physical symptoms or physical sensations or experiences. Our hands may start shaking, or our heart may be pounding, or our heart racing. We may start to sweat, or our face may flush. We may have a stomach ache or distress. We may start to have a headache, or we may start to feel really tense in our bodies. So we're paying attention to those physical symptoms too.
And you're talking a lot about, of course, that feeling of anxiety. How is it different from having an anxiety disorder? So we're clear.
Yes. So those emotional and physical experiences of feeling anxious are going to happen throughout our life course. And they particularly may happen whenever we go for a job interview or do public speaking or go to an event for the first time. You know, that's really normal to have these sort of situational experiences of feeling anxious. Anxiety disorders are different in the sense that we look specifically for sort of persistent experiences of feeling anxious. So for example, with generalized anxiety disorder, we're looking for over at least the past 6 months, has someone been experiencing on a daily or most of the time this feeling of persistent dread, persistent worrying? How is it also impacting their daily life and functioning in terms of social and work employment type of experiences? You know, we're looking for symptoms of not just, you know, worry, but also being restless and on edge, feeling easily fatigued, having difficulty concentrating, having these experiences of our mind going blank and not even being able to maybe remember things very well. It can show up as also irritability and muscle tension and sleep disruptions, especially in terms of not being able to sleep.
So it sounds like it's normal to feel anxious from time to time, but when is too much, Professor? When would you suggest that people go see a doctor?
Yes. So this is a little bit of a nuanced conversation because first we can notice I may have this experience that makes me feel anxious, but am I not really recovering from it? So we're paying attention to how our nervous system is being activated? And is it harder? Do we get kind of stuck in this period of being activated in terms of our anxiety? So is it harder to sort of turn off our brain from worrying? Are we finding ourselves being, you know, slowed down and kind of stuck in that place? And we want to pay attention to, are there things that I've stopped doing or I'm having a harder time doing? How is this impacting me in the day-to-day? So we want to be paying attention to that impact on the day-to-day. Are there social events that we may be not going to? Are there things that are just part of our daily life that are harder to do? But the other aspect is, you know, some form of anxiety is actually high-functioning anxiety. So for some people, they actually do meet the criteria for anxiety disorder, but they're highly functioning, they're over functioning. And it's almost this situation of feeling like they can't stop. It's the sense of nothing I do is sort of enough. If I stop, things are gonna fall apart. It's a hard time being present or even enjoying the accomplishments. It's this feeling of like things will fall apart, or there's dread, or there's fear of something really bad happening. So again, we want to sort of pay attention to how is this impacting us physically, emotionally. It's really helpful to pay attention to our thoughts about ourselves as well. Are we noticing, you know, a feeling of not being enough or really being down on ourselves with it? Does it feel out of control in some way?
Yeah.
Do we feel like our feelings, you know, is my heart racing when I can't identify something in my environment that would cause it to do so?
According to the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, anxiety disorders are the most common mental health illness in the U.S. It's affecting around 40 million people in the country. Do you think overdiagnosis could be a problem here?
Yes. So when we start to talk about diagnosis, I think it's first to put into context that for a lot of people to be able to access mental health treatments, whether that be therapy or medication, that a lot of times insurance requires that there be some form of diagnosis. So I want to put that sort of practicality out there, that people need to be usually diagnosed with something in order to access health insurance benefits, particularly for therapy and other forms of support. So I want to bring up that really practical piece first. The second is there's actually some concerns too that we might be underdiagnosing anxiety. So one thing we know that happens is that we have forms of bias, particularly within medical and mental health treatment services. And part of this is shaped by what are our norms around how anxiety presents or who has anxiety disorders. So for example, you know, we often have had societal norms that men don't cry, for example. And when we know, when we look at the gendered rates of anxiety, actually women have much higher rates of being diagnosed with an anxiety disorder than men. And one of the concerning aspects is that a lot of times men are taught more, I can be angry versus crying, or I can be angry versus being worried in a particular way. And so there's some concerns that we're not actually capturing people's experiences of that. The other piece is also how this has been racialized. We actually know that Black women have some of the highest rates for chronic and more severe anxiety.
Yeah, we sure do.
Right? And then there's also the legacy and the ongoing practices, particularly around medical racism, as well as the belief, you know, the bias that Black adults have a higher threshold of pain than other racial groups. And so how is that undercutting whose pain is being recognized and being addressed? I want to also say for transgender, non-binary and gender expansive folks too, there are also really high rates of anxiety, which have also been linked to forms of societal hostility and other forms of pain that make it really, that contribute to these forms of anxiety. So it is a high number and it is a concerning number.
Yeah.
And it's also concerning that we may not be fully capturing actually the full rate of anxiety disorders.
And the thing is, I mean, is it realistic to try to make your goal to get rid of anxiety?
So that's a great question. So in terms of if someone is engaging in mental health treatment related to an anxiety disorder, one goal is typically to reduce symptoms and hopefully to get to the point where someone doesn't meet the criteria anymore for that diagnosis. So that can be one goal. The other thing is in any form of mental health treatment, you want to think about what are my goals? What do I want to make sure? If I'm missing out on something in life, is there something that I want to bring in? Do I want to make sure I'm able to relax and be present to maybe my loved ones? The other thing is that, you know, going back to the very first question, we don't want to work to get rid of anxious feelings in and of themselves. As part of that human experience, again, we will be facing stressors, many outside of our control. Having uncertainty and fear can actually be really critical and even life-saving at times. Mm-hmm. And that is part of the experience. So we don't want to try to shut down our feelings, but it's more of how do I recognize them? And again, going back to that intensity scale, sometimes it's helpful to notice, oh, my feeling of fear just went from a level 4 to a level 8. So like, what do I need right now, right? So figuring out how to respond to those feelings, it becomes a really critical point.
WBEZ's nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work. Inspire change. Shape the future.
So to your point, Professor, how can people ground themselves and rationalize situations in the moment when they're feeling anxious?
Mm-hmm. Right. So I want to, if it's okay, if I kind of expand that question, because
sure,
there are forms of therapy, which we can talk more about. There's also medications, and there are also a range of different skills and techniques and forms of support that people can use to help with managing symptoms of anxiety disorders or even feelings, anxious feelings that feel really big or overwhelming. So first, I would recommend anyone see a medical provider that they trust in order to see if there could be some medical concerns that are linked to this. Sometimes thyroid disorders or chronic pain or other health issues can be contributing. But there's also a range of, and checking things like caffeine intake, mm-hmm. which can also contribute to these feelings, working on sleep, some forms of exercise, particularly in moderation, can be really helpful as well, forms of meditation and calming strategies. So if someone feels the need to get grounded, getting grounded is a term that really means becoming more present, coming into the present moment, kind of sort of stopping the mind from racing to the worst case scenario,
yeah.
from the mind from worrying and sort of, you know, going over.
See, that's
over
the,
and
that's
over
the hardest part.
Right. It's interrupting it.
Yeah,
right?
I tend to do that too, that worst case scenario. It's hard to not do that.
And, you know, rationally, worrying has never stopped something bad from happening. Worrying has no purpose and is linked to zero outcomes that are positive.
You're right.
It's linked to losing sleep, right?
Yep.
It's linked to being distracted. It's linked to losing out on the present moment. So becoming present, and that can be, there's a variety of calming activities like paying attention to our environment. What are, you know, 5 things you can see, 4 things you can touch, 3 things you can hear,
yeah.
something you can taste, you know, a way to sort of bring it into the moment.
I see.
And breathing exercises as well.
Speaking of the moment, we got to consider the times that we're living in right now, right? So according mm-hmm. to 2024 results from the American Psychiatric Association's annual mental health poll, more people are feeling anxious compared to 2023. It's been 4 years since the start of the pandemic. There's climate mm-hmm. change. We're seeing ongoing wars around the world. Economic uncertainty for pretty much everyone. This upcoming mm-hmm. election and its chaos. Mm-hmm. A loneliness epidemic. I mean, that's just a yeah. few things, Professor. What else can you say about how recent years have affected people experiencing anxiety disorders?
Right. So we've definitely seen an intensified isolation, particularly if we do think back to 2020 with, forced isolation, you know, for the sake of public health, with mm-hmm. massive death and grief and loss, for which we don't have a lot of skills around how to process that. You know, one thing that's becoming more aware too is that, you know, what do we have access to in terms of seeing the suffering that's happening in our world? That has played a contributing factor of witnessing more really concerning information and documentation of forms of pain that are happening in our world. You know, there's also been research on how social media can make us feel lonelier.
Yes.
And it can also, you know, but these are all things that have a mixed bag, right? Because we have access to people across the world and we have access to information in new ways. So I think one thing that I think is really important for those of us who do struggle with feelings of anxiety that feel really overwhelming, and even if we do have a disorder or not, you know, is that just because we're individually experiencing it doesn't mean that it's not necessarily a valid response to some of the horrific things happening in our world. And it doesn't mean we are impacted individually by things that are happening structurally, globally, locally, you know, on all yeah. these different levels. And on a deeper level, there's this question about how do we respond to uncertainty, to fear, to loss, in our culture.
Yeah.
I mean, if we really, you know, thinking about like the social determinants of health and thinking about sort of what sort of structural changes could we make that would improve health, those could have really big impacts.
Yeah. So leave us with this then. What can people start doing today to feel more in control of their anxiety?
Right. So first, recognizing, again, the sort of normal anxious feelings that come up with things that are happening in our life. The other thing is sort of tracking, you know, learning, developing this language of what feelings am I feeling? There are so many words for the range of feelings. What's the intensity? What seems to be contributing to this? Tracking those sort of triggers or things that cause those feelings. And then paying attention to when is it lessened? And this can be something that we never have to do alone, that many of us are facing this. And so there are forms of medical and therapeutic supports, but also talking to friends and family members and making sure that we're doing things that take care of ourselves and paying attention to what does bring me a sense of calm in my day to day. And I think that that's really critical, especially in these times when it does feel very turbulent.
That's Gina Fedock, Associate Professor at UChicago's Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy and Practice. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Micah Yasin, edited by Meha Ahmed, and mixed by Max Lubers. Are you interested in more conversations about health? Well, you can leave us a message at 888-915-9945 with your suggestions of what to talk about next. That's 888-915-9945. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again tomorrow.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.